There are many different views in the religious world about who or what the Holy Spirit is. The other month or two ago, one of you came up to me and asked the question, who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? And I took that question very seriously because that's the role that Pastor Val and I have, are to share whatever information we have or we can get with you so that you can use it in your life. So I appreciated that question. You see, some believe that the Holy Spirit is an impersonal force, while others believe that he is a personal being and God. This morning, we're going to search some of the scriptures to see what we can learn about who is the Holy Spirit. This message this morning is different from most of ours in that there are no overheads, a lot of Bible references. So in your worship folders, you have all those references. Otherwise, you'll be thumbing back and forth during the whole message. Our message this morning is meant to just whet your appetite. And this is an introduction to our discussion, who is the Holy Spirit, for our Thursday evening fellowship that will be starting in September. I pray that we will have a better understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and how the Holy Spirit worked during the time of the writing of the Old and the New Testaments and how he works today in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. There's some difficulties surrounding the Holy Spirit. And it's unfortunate that the Holy Spirit is so shrouded in mystery, even within the church. I'm sure many of us would say that compared to what we know about the Father and about Jesus, we know very little about the Holy Spirit. And there are many reasons for our lack of understanding of the Spirit. And this morning I'm going to share just three of those with you. First, he's not like us. If we could easily understand everything there is about the Holy Spirit, along with the Father and the Son, they would not be God. God reveals himself in a way that we can begin to understand some things about him. There are many things about the Holy Spirit that are difficult to understand. Secondly, we tend at times to overreact to false teachings of other religious groups. There are some religious groups that have a very distorted, and I would go so far as to say blasphemous teaching about the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, these groups put too much focus on the Spirit and his work in our lives. Whereas we tend to underestimate how the Holy Spirit works in our lives, even to the point of limiting in our minds what the Spirit does. The third thing is that we really have studied about the Holy Spirit on many occasions, but we do not realize it due to preconceptions that we have while approaching Scripture. For example, whenever you hear the word God, who is it that you think about? Usually, it's the Father. There are so many verses in the Bible that mention God that nowhere in the context would narrow this only to the Father. There are many times, both within the Old and the New Testaments, that the word God refers to all three members of the Godhead. And there are times when the word God refers to the entire Godhead as a single force. And I would like us to get beyond what others say about the Holy Spirit and see for ourselves the truth of what the Scriptures say about the Spirit of God. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a personal being. The Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit is not the Father, neither is he the Son. Now, many envision the Holy Spirit as a vague, impersonal force rather than a personal being. The Jehovah's Witnesses are one group. This is what one of their tracts state. The Holy Spirit is not a person, and it is not a part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God's active force that he uses to accomplish his will. To a certain extent, it can be likened to electricity. I take exception to that statement. This is not what the Scripture teaches. The Holy Spirit is a personal being. Although the word spirit in Greek is a neutral word, masculine pronouns are used when speaking about the Holy Spirit. He, his, himself. These personal pronouns are used more than 20 times when referring to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does things that only a personal being can do. The Holy Spirit teaches. John 16:13 teaches us, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." The Holy Spirit speaks. John 15:26 tells us, "When the Advocate," or the Holy Spirit, "comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes out from the Father, he will testify about me." That was Jesus speaking. In Acts 8:29, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay by it." The Holy Spirit has a will. 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Another reference we find is that in Acts 15:28. "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements." We also see that the Holy Spirit teaches. Luke 12:12. "For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." The Holy Spirit loves. Again, Romans 15:30 tells us, "Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Romans 5:5 tells us, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The Holy Spirit can be lied to. Acts 5:3. "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back a part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Did it not belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not just lied to human beings, but to God.'" The Holy Spirit can be blasphemed. Matthew 12, 31-32. "And I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit." Blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. "Anyone who hears a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. And anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." The Holy Spirit can be insulted. Hebrews 10:29. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sacrificed them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? Shouldn't have been sacrificed, it should be sanctified. Let me read that to you again. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has been treated as an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? The Holy Spirit can direct. Acts 13:2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And again in Acts 16:6-7, Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to do so. I could keep going on, but these should be enough to show you that the Holy Spirit is a personal being that acts like a personal being. He does not act like electricity does. For a moment, let's take a look at the deity and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Again, we go back once more and look at Acts 5:3-4. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived the deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." The Holy Spirit was active during creation. Genesis 1:2 and verse 26, and Job 33:4. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our own likeness." And Job repeats, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." That leads us to the question then, who gave the Spirit? Who gave the Scriptures? God or the Holy Spirit? We're told that the Scriptures are God-breathed and that from the Spirit of God. Many instances when the Spirit comes from someone, they speak for Yahweh. Here's a simple, logical argument that the Holy Spirit is God. The Scriptures are God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. Job 32:8. "But it is the Spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding." Verse 4, "The Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life." If it were his intention and he withdrew his Spirit and breath, all humanity would perish together, and mankind would return to dust. The Holy Spirit, who is God, gave us the Scriptures. This is one of many instances where the word God is used in referring specifically to the Holy Spirit. Who are we a temple of? We, as the people of God, are God's temple. This is made clear in Scripture. We're also called the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:17 tells us that we're that temple of God. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. We also find out that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Ephesians 2:20 to 24. Built on this foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And we see another example in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. The Holy Spirit is God. Are we born of God or born of the Spirit? First, we are born of God. John 1:13 tells us, children not born of natural descent, nor of human decisions, or by a husband's will, but born of God. We also see in John 3:3-5, that we're also born of the Spirit. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And the question is, how can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter the second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. So then we see that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is part of Yahweh of old. Whenever we preach about the deity of Christ, we compare many Old and New Testament verses to show that when Yahweh is being mentioned in the Old Testament, this name includes Jesus. The same is in the case with the Holy Spirit. Isaiah saw the amazing vision of Yahweh in Isaiah 8:5. And when I heard the voice of God saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And Paul shared similarly in Hebrews 3:7-8. So as the Holy Spirit speaks, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. After quoting the Spirit in this text, the Hebrew writer then cautions his readers not to depart from the living God. The Holy Spirit has God's attributes. The Holy Spirit is holy. He is referred to as the Holy Spirit about 90 times in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is eternal. We can read that in Hebrews 9:14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleansed our consciousness from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent. Isaiah 40:13-14. Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? And Paul shares that teaching in 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thought of God except the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Psalms 138, 7 and 8. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. So then we begin to conclude that the Holy Spirit is a distinct member of the Godhead. Now, some people think that the Holy Spirit is actually the same person as the Father and the Son. But the Scriptures clearly teach a distinction between the persons of the Trinity. Whenever we see him referred to as the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ, that may lead us to think that he's either one of them or at least a part of them. Just as we have a spirit, that's also a part of us. So the Spirit is a part of the Father or of Christ. Scripture shows us that the Spirit, he has his own will. And we see all that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. He's also mentioned in Scriptures along with the other members of the Godhead as though they were three separate, distinct beings. Go back and think about Matthew 28, 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in 2 Corinthians 13, 14, we're told, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6 teaches that there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one Father, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all, through all, and in all. And as my final argument this morning, as we return to the beginning of Jesus' ministry, as Jesus is being baptized, a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son. And the Holy Spirit, like a dove, came and rested upon Jesus. All of this happened at the same time. Three members of the Trinity can be seen at the same time. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Obviously distinct from one another. There are eternal consequences in dying the deity and the person of the Holy Spirit. We cannot give him the honor and the respect that he deserves if we do not consider him a divine person. The Holy Spirit is to be worshiped as we worship the Father and the Son. He is God, the third person of the Godhead. He is the third person of the Trinity.